You all are familiar with Murphy's Law, right? You know, anything that can go wrong will. Yeah, yesterday I tried to get oil changed in one of the cars, and I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? You take it to the place, won't mention where because they're very good, but I'm sat in line forever, and then finally I got up into the bay and they're getting all the information, and then a guy walks over and he says, "Sorry, we don't have a filter that fits your car." And I said, you know, I'm a pretty laid-back guy. And I'm like, okay, well, that happens. Don't worry about it. And he was very apologetic and all. So no oil filter. And so I had to drive to another place, same chain, and got in there. And he said, "Yeah, we got the oil filter. No problem." That's after I waited in line there, too. "We don't have the air filter." Oh, boy. You know, so anything that can go wrong. But to top this, there's a much better story. But let me tell you a couple of these other observations some people have made of official rules at home and see if you can relate to these. Rabies rule of the bedroom: the spouse who snores louder always falls asleep first. I see if you're getting jabs. Dixon's gardening discovery: when weeding, the best way to make sure you are removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out easily, it's valuable. Dorothy's dilemma: the heavier the package and the further you must carry it, the more your nose itches. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Right. Todd's rule of a code malfunction: the barcode in the checkout line won't work on items you're embarrassed to be buying. So, and Rosenbaum's rule: the easiest way to find something lost around the house is to buy a replacement. Oh, that is so true, so true. And some people say that Murphy was an optimist. I mean, it's amazing how wrong things can go. There's a guy named Rodney Wilmoth who recalls a story years ago when he was the pastor of a Methodist church in Fremont, Nebraska. The story was in a little book called "Why Didn't Noah Swat Both Mosquitoes," which it's been a great idea. Anyway, a member of his staff came to work, and she had been talking to a neighbor, and this actually happened. The man had to do some work on the roof, and he thought, "I'll do it safely." And so he tied a rope around his waist, and he went up onto the roof, and he threw the rope to his teenage son and said, "Tie this off to something solid so I'll have something to hold on to while I'm up here." Makes great sense, right? Yeah, I think that worked great. And so the teenage son tied it to the bumper of the car, and everything was going fine. Right up until the wife decided to go to the grocery store, got in the car, did not notice the rope, and started pulling off, and he got scraped all across the top of the... Now, he survived. Didn't get injured, thank goodness. But it must have been kind of like one of those cartoons, or what was the guy that jumped the Snake River, that Evel Knievel? Where it would kind of look like that, you know, launch him a little bit with it. Yeah, that must have been something really to see. Our friend Noah had some problems. The issues that had gone on with him were, he wasn't laughing. The waters had been rising up around him. He'd been cooped up on board this ark for 40 days and 40 nights with every imaginable animal as well as his own family. His neighbors were gone. The world that he knew had disappeared, and he was having to start over. But that happens, doesn't it? It happens to people. The world as they know it suddenly disappears. I think of a widow whose husband recently died, and she has never worked outside the house, and now she has to maintain all of their financial affairs. But he did not manage them very well, and so in addition to the grief that she's dealing with, she's having to deal with all of that, going to work for the first time in a world where she's not ready. Or I think of a 53-year-old businessman who's laid off by his company. His middle management job was great, and he spent so much of his adult life acquiring the skills that he needed, and now he's obsolete. The world he has known has disappeared, and he's going to have to start over again. I think of a 30-year-old single mom with two small children. She was brought up believing that marriage was forever, but now she must bring up the children on her own. Her husband decided he was not ready for that kind of responsibility. He's not a deadbeat dad, but the court-ordered child support is not nearly enough. Even more devastating is the loss of his emotional support. The waters around her are rising. Life does that to us sometimes, doesn't it? There was a really a kind of an amusing story if you weren't part of it, but there were these two men from South Africa who decided to stow away on a Norwegian freighter that was in Cape Town in hopes of reaching Europe, only to learn the bitterly cold truth 3 days into the trip, the ship was going to Antarctica. Yeah. Not in their wildest dreams had they imagined ending up on the South Pole. They probably hadn't even seen ice or snow before, the ship's officer, Jan Rice, told reporters. The two men snuck aboard the Norwegian Queen, the Norwegian ship Polar Queen, when it stopped in South Africa on its way to Antarctica with 46-member German-Italian expedition. And the stowaways hid under a deck in the engine room. And 3 days into the trip, they got up and were terribly seasick, filthy, and made their way up into the part of the ship. He said that the 14-member Norwegian crew got them cleaned up and fed and into some clean clothes. They showed them a little sightseeing trip around the ice pack. There was enough food and space for everybody, so it wasn't a problem. But can you imagine getting on to that boat thinking that you're going to go to Europe and ending up in Antarctica just to go back to Cape Town 2 weeks later? Life will do that, won't it? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We think we're headed towards Europe. We end up in Antarctica. We try to do what God wants us to do, and we end up sailing with a boatload of animals aboard toward a world we cannot even imagine. This is Noah's story, but it's also ours. What do we do when the waters are rising and the world around us is rapidly changing? It seems dreadfully frightening, doesn't it? For one thing, we can recognize that beyond the rising water, there is a rainbow. That's why I read that particular bit of scripture. Storms do not last forever. Grief subsides with time. Most people who lose their jobs do find others. Single moms make it through somehow. Mary Lou Carey wrote in Daily Guidepost about when she was a child and spring seemed to be so far away. I grew up in Miami. Spring was, well, every day. I mean, let's be realistic. Yeah. But she lived up north. She said as soon as the April came and the sun began to warm things up, she wanted to go out and go barefoot. But her grandmother would shake her head and said, no, 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 you can't. Then mid-May days would coax blooms from the marsh marigolds and triumph. It's summer, she would say, tossing all the warm sweaters up into the top of the closet. We ain't had blackberry winter yet, her grandmother would say, and with a great deal of conviction. Blackberry winter, that's what her grandmother called that final cold snap in May when blackberries began ripening. And she was always right. Before the month was over, this girl would have to go back into that closet and grab a sweater or a sweatshirt for the last few days of a chilly temperature. Y'all know anything about that? Yeah. I don't. I never saw first blackberry I saw was about 3 weeks ago. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what they look like. Now that I'm adult, this young woman wrote, I've noticed blackberry winters in other areas of my life too. I save for vacation, but I have to spend the money on a new washer dryer. My meaningful relationship with my two teenagers splinters because of occasional spats. I want that recognition for my hard work on the local school board, but I'm passed over. Sometimes I'm tempted to give up, to surrender to the cynicism that surrounds me. I feel that things will never get better. And then I think of Grandma sitting in her rocker, her hands stitching quilting pieces. It'll never get warm, I used to say. Of course it will, she'd laugh. Blackberry winter is a short season, real short. And that's the way I try to think of my setbacks. Inevitable, short-lived, as natural as the season, the blackberry seasons of life. Most of our troubles, they are temporary. Somehow we do muddle through. It probably seems like a lifetime to Noah being cooped up in that ark. But eventually the waters did recede and a rainbow appeared in the heavens. And the rainbow was a symbol of God's promise to Noah that never, ever again would waters overwhelm him. We also have God's promise for us. Hermann Göckel lost his voice when he was 32 years old. Now, this is a bad thing because he was a preacher. And he was a good preacher, But he lost his voice. He had to retire. He took his wife Mildred and two children to live with his widowed mother in Cleveland, Ohio. Mildred got a secretarial job to keep the family afloat, and Herman stayed home with the kids. But he did housework, said a Bible verse kept coming to mind. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also give us all things? Above the darkness and the gloom, Herman saw a star of hope. He prayed and he believed. And 6 months later, he got a job answering mail for Dr. Walter Mazur's Lutheran Hour. Any of you ever remember that on the radio? Yeah. It was a great radio broadcast. But he also wrote rhymes for Christmas cards and helped shipping in the department at the Concordia Publishing House, which is a religious publishing house, and many of the books that you've read come from that. And he wrote ads, he prepared catalogs, he developed book jackets, he designed Sunday school bulletins, helped launch several new magazines, and eventually became the manager of Concordia Publishing. Then Mildred became critically ill, and 26 times she was hospitalized. 6 of those times they thought they were going to lose her. Herman kept believing, Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things? He was asked to develop a new TV program for his church, and the program This Is the Life became a milestone in religious communications. All of this because he lost his voice. After the rain, there was a rainbow. And, you know, I wish I could tell you that it always happens like that. Sometimes our trials do not lead to triumphs that we can readily identify. I mean, let's be honest, it doesn't always work that way. But still, God's promise is with us. The waters will not overwhelm us, for God who created us will be with us throughout the storm. That's what you hold on to. There's a story out of Scotland by a man named about a man named Joseph Craik. He was known throughout Scotland as the man who turns inkblots into angels. And this is what he did. This was back in the time when they would use quill pens. I'm not sure what that was like. Bill, what was that like to use a quill pen? Do you remember? Anyway, sometimes apparently they would make terrible inkblots if you weren't real careful, and the children would have just trouble keeping the handwriting and not have a big blotch. Well, the other teachers just seemed to enjoy getting a red quill and drawing circles around it and, you know, scoring the paper much, much lower because of sloppiness. But this guy, Joseph Craik, would draw little lines on each of the inkblots, and his little lines would make them into angels. And so when the children got back their flawed penmanship and all of that, instead of seeing that they were failures, they saw little angels. What a wonderful thing, turning inkblots into angels. But that's what God does in our lives. Those inkblots, those things that challenge us, those things that cause us to wonder, is it ever going to stop raining? Is the water going to ever recede? Rather than being marked by failure, they turn into angels. God does that. God does that, turns rain clouds into rainbows, can take a life that has been nearly beaten down, and can bring joy into it. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah, and you. If the waters around you, you feel that they are rising around you today, I suggest you bring your concern to the one who has put a bow up into the heavens as an eternal promise that the waters will never overwhelm you. As we gather around this table, we take in nourishment for our souls, for our spirits, nourishment that draws us together as a family of God's children, but with God present here with us, Jesus Christ sharing his body and blood with us. What is this for? Well, this is to remind us we are never, ever alone. So all are welcome to receive these elements. No matter where you are in your faith journey, just beginning and near the end, maybe not even sure where you are welcome to receive these elements of Christ's body and blood.